You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. Before we begin, let me give all of you my telephone number, just in case you want to call and leave a prayer request on my voicemail, or perhaps a question for Mystery Moment, or maybe you just want to call and tell me you love my program. Area 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. Now, last week, we left off with Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, which means it was twice that much, and he had 12 baskets of food left over, one for all of the 12 tribes. And then he decided he needed a little exercise before breakfast. So on the fourth watch, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., he walked on the water and calmed a storm for the disciples. Let's see what adventure we're going to have with Jesus today. Verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Now, what you want to know about Tyre and Sidon is that that is Satan's camp. That is Satan's nest. Satan has children. They're called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. And they give our beloved brother Judah a bad rap because we love our brother Judah. And so Satan's camp mostly lived there and worked there. It was very commercial ships traveling and so forth. And so they dwelt there. Now, this is very important for the rest of the story. Jesus decides to go into Satan's camp. Don't you just love it when Jesus says, I think I'm going to go and mess up Satan's nest?
And entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid.
Jesus had gotten so famous, he wanted to take a little time to pray with his Father. Jesus was very wise. And he taught us all who work for him that we expend a lot of spiritual energy, electrical dynamite energy by the Holy Spirit. When we minister to people, everything is just doubled up with energy. And so we always want to go and be with God and soak in God and the Holy Spirit and refill. So Jesus was trying to do that. He goes into a house, but they're going to find him.
25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet.
Now that's good. This woman has a daughter who has an evil spirit. The first thing she does is humble herself and falls at his feet. She's already shown that she has compassion because she loves her daughter. Now she's showing humility. But who is this woman?
26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation.
Okay, a Syrophoenician means that she was of Syria, she was a Kenite. Did I not tell you Syria and Tyre and Sidon of the Kenite place there? K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendant of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve there in the garden. Paul says in Greek, exapatio, holy seduced her. So this is a woman who is not of the seed of Abraham. So Jesus is going to teach us in this little story so much of the Bible. Let's learn.
And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter.
That means she had faith. She has compassion. She has humility. She has faith. But she's a Kenite. She is not the child of God. She is the child of the devil.
27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs.
Okay. Now, first of all, he's not offending her by calling her a dog, like a barking dog. A dog was a term to describe Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. See, everybody in the Bible knew that there had been a seduction in the garden. And that's what that means. If you trace every word back from the manuscripts, you will see that. So she knew, of course, that she was called a Kenite. But Jesus said this. Now listen to this. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. What did he mean by that? Malachi chapter 4 says that before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God will send the prophet Elijah, who would turn the hearts of the fathers, plural, to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, plural, meaning there are two fathers. Now, Jesus further states this and believes this in Matthew 13. He says, if you don't learn this little parable I'm about to tell you about the sower, you'll never understand anything of the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, while people slept, an enemy came in and sowed a wicked seed, Zawan, bitter seed. And he said, the seed are the children of the devil. And the devil is the one who sowed the seed. So he says that the devil has seed. He's referring to the Garden of Eden when Satan, that old serpent, just low down like a serpent, not really a snake, that's a symbol of his low downness, beguiled Eve. So Jesus is telling us this. But now why did Jesus say, but I can't give this to you because of course a Kenite can be saved. Here's why. Jesus had not yet paid the sin debt. He was getting ready. He was training his disciples. He was going to shed his blood, die for our sins, arise from the dead, and go back to heaven. Now, before that time, God's law had said that God would send through the seed of Abraham, which is God's children, God's elect, Messiah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down umbilical cord to umbilical cord through the Virgin Mary, and here stands Jesus. So we got that far. But he hasn't yet paid the sin debt. Then God's word says, first of all, he will tell the gospel to the children of Abraham, the children. Hear the word children, the children of God. And in other gospels, he says, I'm not come but to the lost tribes of Israel. Now, once Jesus ascended back to heaven, he left Peter and Paul in charge of taking the gospel to whosoever will, the Gentiles and the Kenites. But see, when he called her a dog, a Kenite, it was not an offense, it was timing. God has a time set for everything. God has a day planner, and he opens it up. And when he's got it written down to do this, he's going to do that. See those prayers you've been praying about? It's not time yet, okay? And so Jesus was saying it's not the time. Now, see, he can't break his order. He can't do that because the law, God's word said, first all the gospel, the good news, which includes healing, would come to the seed of Abraham, God's children, and then the door would open to them. Now, she's coming out of order here, so how is he going to do this? Let's see what happens.
28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.
You know what she did? Instead of saying, but Lord, my little girl is sick and you're supposed to be so good. You ought to come down here in my nasty mess and fix me. Isn't that the way we pray? Lord, I'm not caring about what your time. I need help right now. Come and get me out of this mess. Isn't that the way we pray? No, here's what she did, and she is a Kenite. She moved her thinking up to his level. How about that? God tells you, Christian, Isaiah 43:26, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Talk to me about my word. His word is a higher level. So she goes to him, and so she gives him a parable. How about this scenario, Jesus, says the Kenite woman. You're sitting at the table, and your children around you, meaning the disciples, and you're feeding them the bread of heaven, the plan of God, the fact that you're going to pay the sin debt, but you've got a little puppy dog that you like very much underneath your table, and he's licking your feet, and you just reach up and you get just a nice chunk of steak, and you just plop it in your little puppy dog's mouth. Your children are still well fed, but the dog got the crumb, and that's sufficient for the dog. Isn't that a beautiful parable? She gave that to Jesus. How did he respond?
29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter.
In other words, Christian, when you're asking and petitioning, it would do you well to move up into God's way of thinking. His word is his way of thinking. Pray his word. Talk to him about his word.
30, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter lay upon the bed.
Don't you know that made her heart happy, because her daughter had been demonized. When a person's demonized, they can't sleep, they're restless, they're moving all the time, they up at all hours of night, bopping around and saying that. And there was her daughter. Her daughter was at sleep. Did you notice that Jesus did not physically go there? You know what he did? He sent his word and healed her. Psalm 107:20. Jesus told you to cast out devils. People call me on the phone. In a little bit, I'm going to pray for people over the air. I can't be physically everywhere at one time. So Jesus told us to do the same thing he does. We connect with the Holy Spirit. Out of our belly flows rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit comes up through our arms and our mouth like a conduit, and we groan with the groaning of Holy Spirit, and we shoot that word over the air. It could be 50 miles away, 5,000 miles away, or across around the corner.
Amen.
And see, there is no distance in God's power. Hallelujah. So you are to send the word.
31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon.
Do you know that was only about 50 miles? That's all he did there. Do you think maybe he knew she needed him? I think so. He went 50 miles there and 50 miles back. He went 100 miles out of his way, and he was tired, to help one person. Let me tell you, Christian, the Lord loves you so much. He'll go out of his way. He'll walk a long way to find you. Some of you, he had to wait a long time, but he's got you now.
Amen.
He came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. 32, and they began to bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech.
If you'll notice that if a person has been born deaf, they usually don't speak well. They have an impediment in their speech because they cannot hear the words. They do not, they can't know how they're to be pronounced, to use the diction right. So it sort of goes, an impediment sort of goes with deafness. Now, let that rest in your brain a few minutes, okay?
And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him.
This is the second time in Mark that someone said, will you lay hands on someone? Remember, Jairus said, come and lay hands on my daughter and she'll be healed. Obviously, Jesus practiced the ministry of the laying on of hands. Excuse me. In Mark 16, we're going to find that Jesus says, these signs follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. If what it is, it's a transference, like a conduit, from the Holy Spirit coming up out of your belly like a river and flowing through you like a conduit, and then it has a place to be deposited. So that's what they asked him to do that.
33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit
Jesus put his fingers in his ears. Then Jesus spits.
And touched his tongue. 34.
And touched his tongue. Now, why did Jesus spit and take his fingers and touch the spit and then put his fingers in the ears? Because he needs dunamis power to get this deaf ear, these deaf ears open. The Holy Spirit is water, water power. Ezekiel tells us that in the heaven on earth coming up, the third earth age when everything's perfected, that the Holy Spirit will flow from the throne of God like a crystal river. And it's like a high-powered water mill. It's just got so much power. And Jesus is the living water. So the first thing he did, he made sure Jesus is the well. He got water from the well. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus got water from the well, which is himself, and he wet himself, wet his finger there to put in the ear. And so therefore, now he's got the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus' last name, we call it Christ. It means the anointed one. To heal the sick or raise the dead or cast out devils, you need the Holy Spirit power and you need the Word of God. You need the anointing. Jesus is anointed. He is the Word of God. And now he's got the water power, the Holy Spirit power. Got it?
Yes.
Up to heaven, he sighed.
Then he looks up to heaven and he sighs. Now listen, he's showing us how to do this. You know what the sigh is? It's the same thing as the groan. In another gospel, when they told Jesus Lazarus had died, Jesus groaned within himself. The Greek there means he like snorted. Ah! It's a warrior's prayer cry. You hear me say, Romans 8:26, we don't know how to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then we pray according to the Father's will. It's a warrior's cry. What it does, sound produces movement. It's not a namby-pamby. It's not a little baby cry. It's a powerful cry by the Holy Spirit coming through you with the anointing there, with the river flowing. And that anointing, that groan, knocks out the disease or knocks out the devil.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Robert, I saw that when I prayed for your brain. I literally saw it go into your brain. Robert is someone here and has been healed of that. We actually saw that. I was praying on the telephone, but I saw it. So this is powerful. This is Jesus is showing us how to do it.
And saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain.
Okay, when he got his ears open, then he could speak. Now, let's apply this to your daily Christian walk. Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Many Christians are going around, and you don't know this, nobody's told you, but you have an impediment in your speech. Every time you Christians say, I'm so alone, nobody knows how hard this is for me, I say to you, Ephphatha, open up, hear the word of the Lord, now speak plainly. Jesus says you are of more value than many sparrows. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without Jesus knowing. And you, Christian, are of more value than many sparrows. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing. Now you're speaking good diction. Now, some of you have an impediment in your speech when you say, I can't take it anymore. Okay, Ephphatha, ears open, hear the word of the Lord, speak plainly and say. The Lord says in Corinthians, God will not give you more than you can take, but will with the trouble make a way that you may be able to escape it. See, your impediment's healed. Some of you have an impediment in your speech when you say, but the doctor says that this disease is incurable. Ephphatha, ears open, hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says in Psalm 103, I heal all your diseases. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Now you're speaking with good diction. You're speaking out front. You're not mumbling, and you're not swallowing it so nobody can hear it, and you're not going too fast, okay? Some of you have an impediment of speech when you say, I'm so afraid. Epitaph, ears open, hear the word of the Lord. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I say to the body of Christ, Ephatah, let your ears be open. Hear the word of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else. When your ears are open, your lips are not going to mumble and swallow your words, and you're not going to be talking like you don't know what you're talking about. He says to shout. Speak it loud, clear. You want every word he heard because it's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God told Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy these dead bones. Those dead bones were not only deaf, they were dumb and they were dead. Ezekiel preached the word of God, said, hear the word of the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord, and guess what? They didn't have any impediment in their whole body. They got up and lived.
36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it.
Now, you know, we know that Jesus is very smart. He's very wise. He is wisdom. Every time he would do a great healing like this, he would tell them, don't tell anybody. And I'm sure he noticed that they told everybody. It was such good news they couldn't keep quiet. Do you think he was using reverse psychology, saying don't do it so they would? I think so. I trow so. Jesus often said the old English word, I trow so. I think so.
37, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well.
Let's get that impediment out of our speech and let's all say that. He hath done all things well. Come on, join me.
He hath done all things well.
Again, he hath done all things well.
He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
And when your spiritual ears open and you hear the voice of the Lord by his word, you will speak clearly. Precisely. You can't keep quiet. You've got to shout it from the rooftops.
Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, verse 2, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. 3, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they'll faint by the way. For divers of them came from afar.
Now, this was a pop test. Since he had already fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the disciples should have learned, let's see if we can find somebody's got a biscuit. Anybody got a biscuit here? Anybody got some fish? No, they didn't learn, but maybe that's good. Maybe that other time that God delivered you from that trouble, and now you're in trouble again, maybe you've forgotten that he did it before. Maybe you've forgotten that he'll do it again. Maybe you got to start all over. You don't, but you think you do. They did not get it. He's going to have to lead them along here. Going to take a lot of patience for Jesus to train these disciples.
4, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?
From a biscuit, you idiot. No 7-Elevens there. I'm sure Jesus would like to have said that, but he didn't.
5, and he asked them, how many loaves have you?
Okay, let's go through this again, disciples. How many loaves do you have? Go see what you can find. Oh, they said, oh, we remember how to do this now. A little slow, but later on they'll get it.
And they said seven.
Seven is God's number of perfection.
Verse 6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took seven loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. 7, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded them to set them also before them.
Now the bread represents the bread of heaven. Jesus is that manna from heaven. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Fish is a cipher, a Greek cipher, which reads the letters Ictus, which means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So see, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, is feeding them the bread of heaven. And Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, is feeding you right now by the Holy Spirit the bread of heaven.
8, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. 9, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away.
And so he does all things well. 7 baskets left over, 7 God's perfect number. So I pray that you are blessed on that. We'll begin right here next time. Right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Excuse me. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was a great word tonight.
Thank you.
Our first question, was Jesus taking a big risk in leaving the disciples in charge?
Yes, he was taking a big risk. Remember, this is the second earth age, and all this sin began when Satan rebelled in the first earth age, and we were in our spiritual bodies then.
Yeah.
We got one time in the flesh here. Now, the man Adam and the woman Eve had already messed up in the garden there. Once Jesus ascended back to heaven, it was up to these disciples to get the gospel and to build the church, get it going. But you know what? They did rise up to the occasion. They got it going. In fact, we're benefiting from that right now. All of those disciples except John were murdered for Christ's sake. They were, you know, executed for Christ's sake in cruel ways. So they did get it done. Now, the man Adam and Eve betrayed God in the garden there. So they let him down. The disciples did not let him down. They did get the church going, and we're still preaching their word. Now we've got one more test. We're about ready for the sixth trump, with the end of the fifth trump, a time of learning. The sixth trump, the Antichrist will come and call himself the Savior. The Christians will think he's Jesus if they don't know the Bible. And the elect are going to be delivered up to him, and God is counting on the elect to let Holy Spirit speak through you what he will, because then the gospel is going to be going over the whole world. Everybody's going to hear it in their own language, and then the end shall come. Yes, he's taking a risk on us, but I can tell you something. We don't have to take a risk on him. He's a sure thing.
Amen. That's why we need to stand in that word.
Yes.
Okay, our next question. In Revelations 9, who is Abaddon and Apollyon?
Abaddon and Apollyon, that would be the Antichrist, and both their names tell you that the Antichrist is the devil, I always say, with his Jesus costume on. Abaddon means in the Hebrew, the destroyer. Well, you know who it is comes to destroyer, the devil. And Apollyon is Greek, and it means perdition. In Ezekiel 28, round about 18 and 19, God sent Satan, called Tyrus there, to perdition, to perish from within and be no more. So that's your clue on who that is. That would be the Antichrist, Satan, with his Jesus costume on. It's coming very soon. That's good. His time's been shortened for the elect's sake. The seventh trump, Jesus comes. So hallelujah, bring it on. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And in that love, he has for us, and we for him, is the very destiny that he has placed us here to do in such a time as this.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate that.
You're welcome,
sir. That is so great. I'm going to pray for everyone who's sick now. This is the prayer for healing. But just before I do, let me pray for those of you who are lost. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
To enhance your kingdom. To enhance your kingdom.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. When this program is over, I'm going to give you my telephone number again. Feel free to call and tell me that you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, please, that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of healing light of Jesus' virtue flow to the north, the south, and east and west. Flow into the top of the head, into the brain, into the skull, in every area of the brain, every cell, the sinuses and the eardrums and the eyes and the nose and the throat and the jaws and the teeth and the gums. Flow through there, repair, rejuvenate, heal. In the name and the power of Jesus, cancer, loose this person. Go, cancer, in Jesus' name. Go to the abyss. Let the healing virtue of Jesus come. Reparation, rejuvenation, restoration in Jesus' mighty name. Something missing in your body, let there be a new one by the hand of Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Strength, vitality, new vigor. Youth renewed, strength renewed, new hope come in your heart. Oh, the best is yet to be. Praise God. Let your emotion heal. Let you come up to God's level. Praise ye the Lord. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, after the program is over, you might also like to call me and tell me that you were healed. You're all invited every Sunday at 5 p.m. to come over for this live radio broadcast recording, and then I'll get to pray for you afterwards. Let me give you my telephone number again. The area is 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. I want to especially thank my twin friend Scott Merson for his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate that so much, Scott. That is a ministry within itself. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And I can't wait until next time when we all get together and hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. Tune in next week at this same time for The Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Born is the King of Israel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was too certain for shame.
shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing. For you are with me, and you comfort me. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Oh Lord, you're my shepherd.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Love. The devil keep calling, calling me back. Oh Lord, I'm crying, I need your help. Keep me from trouble, keep me from hell. Lord, keep me walking, walking, walking. Lord, keep me. This road is narrow, the way is steep. I try to follow, but I can barely see. Left, right, Lord, I try to walk this walk, to fight this fight. You keep on telling me you're not afraid of me, but I can tell by the way that you look at me. Always a little bump, set the fire and on. You're not one of them, gonna ride with the days on the ground. Look at the sky, follow my eyes. I'm gonna fly, leave you behind. I'm gonna fly, leave you behind. The devil keep calling, calling me back. Oh Lord, I'm crying, I need your help. Keep me from trouble, keep me from hell. Lord, keep me walking, walking. Lord, keep me walking. Lord, keep me walking. Lord, keep me walking. Lord, keep me walking, walking, walking. My spirit's failing, my flesh is weak. I beg for healing, Lord, I'm on my knees. Wrong, right, you know I try to walk this walk, to fight this fight. I've been washing the blood, drowning the blood, covered and clean like a world I've seen. Tell you right now, you got nothing on me, so won't ever run. Eyes on the sun, ain't going back. I'm in the sun, ain't gonna crack. I'm gonna fly, leave you behind. I'm gonna fly, leave you behind. The devil keep calling, calling me back. Oh Lord, I'm crying, I need your help. Keep me from trouble, keep me from hell. Oh, keep me walking, walking.
Against the water. Now I'm waiting, if you please. We've longed to see the roses, but never felt the thorns, and bought our pretty crowns. but never paid the price. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here. Against the water. Now I'm waiting if you please. We didn't count on suffering. We didn't count on pain. But if the blessing's in the valley, then in the river I will wait. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul.